How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. So we're talking about Gerrit Cole today, a little injury update there, and the rotation, a little bit in flux right now. Some volatile performances yesterday. Luis Gil somehow, by the graces of God, managed to escape that game, only giving up 3 earned runs. I mean, there were bases loaded with no outs at some points. He was walking batters. His fastball was all over the place. His changeup looked awesome, but his fastball just could not get command of it. And, you know, going to give you some updates there, our thoughts, and then, you know, dip into Nestor Cortez for a second, just because he's also been rather volatile, and, you know, what we're thinking about him long-term over the, you know, duration of the season, where we think he's going. But Ryan, let's start with Gerrit Cole. Really good stuff coming out of his camp right now. Right now, he has that catch for a couple of days straight. He took Tuesday, I think today off, and then he's going to get back onto the horse either tomorrow or it's today, and he was off yesterday. But he was throwing from 60 feet. He's going to ramp it up to 75 feet soon. The volume is increasing. He's not pitching just yet, just having a long toss, but no pain, exactly where you want him to be. You know, what are your early thoughts on the progression from Gerrit Cole? We're still targeting an early June return, but you just never know. They're going to want to be extra cautious and careful, so this could be a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that June 1st return is, like, at least a good ballpark estimate, right? Like, obviously, give or take a week here or a week there. It can't be any earlier than May 27th, and I think it's fair to say the Yankees will not start him on May 27th. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but, again, I think they will be careful and cautious with him because you can kind of assume the Yankees are going to go to the postseason. I know that it's early, but this team's clearly better than last year's team, and, you know, I would say this year's team's going to get there. Now, will they win the division? TBD. Will they be the one seed? TBD, right? Like, we don't really know. But I think they're going to get to the playoffs, Alex. I mean, just looking at the rest of the AL of the American League, it's very up and down. You know, the Astros have gone off to a slow start, and we took the season series from them. So if we were to fall into a tiebreaker, the Yankees would actually take the either a higher seed or a playoff spot from them. That is important. And I also think that it's important to note, you know, when we're talking about the playoffs, right, you need really good starting pitching, and I strongly believe you need great starting pitching. I think great starting pitching is the difference between a first-round exit and a World Series run. Kind of look at what the Texas Rangers were able to do. They got as far as they did because Nathan Eovaldi and Jordan Montgomery were not just good, they were excellent. They were stupendous. They were superb. They were every superlative you want to throw out there. They were the best pitchers in October for that postseason run. Think of the 2022 Astros, Javier, Verlander, Valdez. I mean, they shoved it down the Yankees' throat for the entire series and then shoved it down the Phillies' throat in that series as well. They also crushed the Mariners with great pitching in that 18 inning, you know, that 1-0 win they had. It was an incredible baseball game pitching-wise, but pitching wins championships. Now, I'm not saying that to say your offense isn't important. Being a really good offense is super important as well. And honestly, I'd argue rotation depth is not as important in the postseason. I'd say having a 1-2 is super important. So I guess the better word would be aces win a World Series. But yeah, Gerrit Cole, his importance to this team is, I mean, we know what his importance to this team is. It's almost unquantifiable. It's just a matter of if they can get him back at some point in like early June, you're really happy, especially considering the worst case scenario was Tommy John surgery if he had a UCL tear.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, the worst case scenario seems to have been avoided and dodged, and that's really all that we care about right now, surviving that, because the World Series aspirations only really go as far as our health. Fortunately, we've been pretty good in that regard, knock on wood, and Gerrit Cole not missing the whole season is a blessing in disguise. Just watching how many pitchers are getting hurt right now, I mean, we really, really got lucky, guys. So keep that in the forefront of your mind, because you see so many top-end arms. Shane Bieber, we talked about him potentially acquiring him. You know, he went down too with a UCL injury. So now we're like, okay, we really got away with one there. Make sure to stay cautious. Ramp him up just the right way. And I think that will ultimately be the right thing. But, you know, I really think that at this point in time, we can feel confident moving forward. But let's talk about Luis Gil for a second. Yesterday's performance, the fastball. I mean, he touched 99 miles an hour on a couple of occasions. He looked really, really solid for the most part with his changeup. And this season, he was electric before that game. But the accuracy issues there are paramount. You know, it's kind of funny because, like, when I was watching Luis Gil, I kept seeing Gerrit Cole in my mind, not comparably, but more so the way that Gerrit Cole throws his fastball, and it's like an arrow. Like, it comes out of his hand, and it goes straight as an arrow to exactly where he wants it to go. Gets a little bit of ride on it, but for the most part, it is pinpoint accuracy, dotting corners, high velocity, high rising pitches. Like, you see his fastball, and he is in complete command of it. if Luis Gil can teach himself, or at least not teach himself, but develop to a point where he, that when that ball comes out, it's coming out at the right point and it's going straight even, he can get swings and misses on it because the velocity is so good. Opposing batters aren't going to be able to catch up to it mixed in with his changeup and other pitch sequences. So I kind of feel like there is a lot of hope and there's a lot of upside. Again, keep in mind, the sample size is small. He pitched 4 innings last year coming off Tommy John surgery. So his innings, like, he really hasn't had that many. He's still getting a feel for things and working his way and shaking off the rust after missing the better part of a year. So right now, you know, Ryan, when you're looking at Luis Gil, you think about how, you know, it's obviously it's easy to say Gerrit Cole because he's one of the best, if not the best pitcher in the game. His fastball is electric. It's elite. You know, you see him ramp that thing up to triple digits sometimes, and it's like, you know, straight as an arrow, and you just can't catch up to it. It's just too fast. Luis Gil has that same velocity. How does he get the accuracy? How does he get the location? Because if he does, you're looking at one of the better pitchers in this on this roster, not just, you know, a guy that's a back-end starter. He's going to work himself up to that 3-2 option very, very quickly if he gets that accuracy down.
It's pretty incredible, right? Like, you would say the biggest testament as to why he's such a has such good stuff is the fact he only gave up 3 runs in a start where he walked 2 of the batters in, right? Like, he basically gave the Toronto Blue Jays 2 of the 3 runs. They couldn't hit him. They really could. They cannot hit him. Nobody can hit him. Nobody can touch him. Nobody can do anything against the guy. Nobody can do damage. Nobody can generate consistent contact. If he just figured out a way to, I mean, I guess the cue, honestly, and I'm sure the Yankees have this kind of cue with him. I don't think the Yankees are doing anything wrong on this side of things. I think he's just misfiring. Just throw it down the middle, right? Like, he's just got to throw that fastball down the middle. And I know I'm laughing and I'm making it seem like it's comical, like it's so simple and easy, because it's not. Anyone who's ever played baseball, throwing strikes is so hard. It's so difficult. It is hard to find consistently. But if you're Luis Gil, dude, just throw it down the middle. You don't have to spot the outside. What? No, spot the outside part of the corner. Make sure you hit the inside part of the plate. Man, throw that down the middle. They won't touch him. Nobody has touched him. I think that Kevin Biggio double might be the hardest hit ball that he's given up in terms of just like the quality of contact. Like, it might be the first, or that Vlad double in the second game he pitched, excuse me. That was the hardest hit ball I think he allowed. But he has a 2.47 expected ERA while walking 23% of batters. He has allowed 0 barrels. He has a, what's his hard hit rate? I mean, his hard hit rate's 26.9%. His expected batting average, Alex, this is incredible, 0.98, sub 100. The average exit velo is 86.7 miles per hour. He has not allowed a barrel. He has not allowed a barrel since 2021. In 2021, I was not even finishing my senior year of high school. I'm now in college. You know what I mean? Like, you know, this guy has so much talent. You just pray that he could just throw it down the middle. You look at like that fourth inning where, or I think it was the third inning, I'm not sure, but one of those middle innings where he just had a breezy, easy inning where he's just firing it down the middle. I mean, I don't know if this was a bad at bat or just really good pitch movement. Kevin Kiermaier sees 3 guys before him walk. You see the Luis Gil's walking guys into score. And he throws 3 fastballs and challenges them up in the zone. And he still strikes them out. These guys can't hit him. And this is why the Yankees are going to keep him up. Even though I would kind of like the guy who could save the bullpen a little bit. He did give you 5 innings, so you have to give, you know, hats off to that. But it's because he could walk 8 batters or 7 batters, and they still cannot touch him. You cannot touch this guy. You cannot hit him. You cannot hit Luis Gil. It's impossible. I don't need anybody to even entertain the idea that somebody could get hits off this guy consistently. You can't hit this guy. And because you can't hit this guy, all these guys do is just throw it down the middle. It's really, if he walked like 10% of batters faced, I don't think this is hyperbole. I think he'd be one of the 20 best starting pitchers in baseball. I truly believe that. Like, I with every soul and fiber of my body, this guy has a 3.86 ERA, and he has walked 23% of batters, and every underlying metric says, like, FIP thinks his ERA is higher than it should be. Expected ERA thinks his ERA is a whole run higher than it should be. He's walking 23% of batters. 23! That's how good his stuff is. That's how hard he is to hit. So if you're Luis Gil, if you're Matt Blake probably sitting down Luis Gil right now, I imagine that conversation is, dude, my guy, or, you know, he's Dominican, so hijo, whatever it may be, whatever you want to call him, you know, you just got to throw it down the middle, man. You just got to throw it down the middle. Alex, I've never seen a guy in my life, and this includes Garrett Cole, who I've thought, just throw it down the middle. They can't touch you. They will never be able to touch your stuff. He started throwing the slider out of necessity, out of I don't got anything. And I'm seeing George Springer swing over it like he's never seen a slider before. It's crazy. Like, he's so damn talented. I just throw it down the middle. Luis Gil, just throw the ball down the middle, man.
And that'll be paramount for him. You know, just being in the strike zone, living in the strike zone with his fastball will do him plenty of favors. So that's, I mean, look, if we're talking about it, God knows the Yankees are thinking it. So then they're putting in the work and time and effort to get him where he needs to be. I'm sure they're seeing that accuracy behind the scenes and, you know, in practice and in these simulations, and, you know, they go out in the field and the nerves and the energy, it's just different. You know, it's a little bit different when you're actually out there doing it, especially when you walk two batters and you start to get in your own head. You saw Luis Gil. He was angry. He was frustrated. Emotion started to get the best of him. You know, I do wonder if Jose Trevino would be a better catcher than Austin Wells for him, because I don't know. Sometimes I feel like Jose Trevino has a little bit better of a feel for that strike zone. Maybe just, I don't know if there is more chemistry there. Who knows? I wonder if that would be something the Yankees would consider, just transitioning to Jose Trevino as the primary catcher for Luis Gil. So we'll see. But I mean, again, like, low-key, Trevino's been a lot better than Wells to start the year. That doesn't mean I don't think Wells is going to be better long-term. I just think Trevino better defensively, objectively, but he's also had a much better start offensively this season. So we'll see how the Yankees kind of operate there. I don't think they're going to change much, since the sample size is way too small to make any rash decisions. But, you know, I do agree, and I share the same sentiment as you. Luis Gil is going to be a very talented pitcher as long as they get that fastball reined in a bit. But let's talk about Nestor Cortes for a brief moment here. So Cortes, obviously volatile. One really good game, 8 Ks, blanked the Miami Marlins. Came back after that, got shelled against Cleveland. You know, what are you thinking about Cortes right now? I don't think it's a lack of stuff. Honestly, I just think it's a lack of innings and experience, having, you know, that injury last year. He's still ramping up, shaking off the rust. Are you worried about Cortes? I don't think we're ever going to see his 2022 version, but I do think that he can still be a 3.5 ERA guy and be a very solid pitcher for us throughout this season. I just think he needs a little bit more, you know, work under his belt to get going.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a hot take. This may be a hot take. I've actually been more encouraged as the starts have gone on. And I know that's a little bit weird coming off of a start where the Guardians kind of just, like, you know, they shoved it down and started a little bit towards the end there. But I feel pretty decent about him. I'm like, you know, I think part of it is expectations, right? Like, what did you expect from Nestor Cortes? If you expected, like, he's got to be a 3 ERA pitcher, like, flat 3 or lower, or else it's not good enough, I think then you kind of set yourself up for failure, right? Like, if you think Nestor Cortes is repeating his 2022 season, that's on you, right? Like, that kind of thing. But I also think he's better than his numbers suggest. Like, I think he's more of like a high 3 ERA guy. Like, if I get a 3.8, 3.7 ERA out of him, which I think we will, I'm happy with it. I'm more than happy with it, actually. I'd be ecstatic with that. I'd be so good with that. I'd be big thumbs up. I view Nestor Cortes as a back of the rotation, middle of the rotation kind of guy. And he's been shuttled up in the rotation from like the 4 to like the 3 because Cole's hurt. And look, am I going to blame the Yankees because Garrett Cole's hurt? No. Like, respectfully, what were they going to do about it? And also, I don't know about you, Alex, but when we walked into, spring training and everybody reported to camp, I said, hey, you're lucky if you get 4 of your 5 guys through the rotation, but in the rotation through spring training. But I'm not going to lie, I never thought it would be Garrett Cole who would be the one that wouldn't make it through. I always assumed, Cortes, Rodon, maybe, you know, Dark Horse Schmidt, maybe Stroman's a little bit older, maybe it's him. But I never, in my wildest dreams, assumed we'd lose Garrett Cole. Obviously, that places more expectations on everybody, but I think as long as you just get solid pitching, you'll be fine. The offense lost the game yesterday. Like, the Yankees allowed 3 runs. They should win that game. They 100% should win that game every single time. You know, the Guardians game, yeah, that's on the pitching. That's on Nestor. He didn't pitch well. Like, that's 100% on him. Not just 100% on him, but partially on him. On the defense as well. Gleyber not making that play. Like, the Yankees had that game in hand. I think some of their other losses, they lose 3-0 in the home opener. Stroman pitches tail off. You allow 3 runs, you should win that game. The Arizona game was pretty rough. That was another Nestor start. And those are the losses they had. So, you know, yeah. So, I mean, I'm not overly concerned about the starting pitching. I think Cortez will get it going. His expected ERA is 3.40. He's not allowing damage contact. He's not giving up, you know, barrels left and right. I think it's going to turn out pretty well for him. Like, I think he'll be fine. Maybe I'm overly optimistic here, Alex, but movement, velocity, everything's there for me. It's just a matter of, all right, let's execute a couple pitches a little bit more. I kind of look at that changeup to Jose Ramirez and go, I actually love the idea. I love the idea of throwing those changeups to righties, but you got to bury that pitch. It's not a 3-2 pitch. You don't have to throw that for a strike. Get a little bit lower, miss a little bit low, be okay throwing that ball. Look, ball two is better than two-run home run, right? Like, that's, and for, on the hitting side of things, you know, and sometimes I kind of, and I know this kind of seems like almost backwards thinking, but, you know, from the hitting perspective too, you know, strike two is better than double play, right? Like, I'd rather you get your A swing off and whiff and then continue the count. And for a pitcher in Cortez, I'd rather you walk the guy, or I'd rather you, you know, I just want you to have the ball back. I don't want that ball to be a souvenir for left field or right field or center field, that kind of thing. So, you know, I think that he's kind of figuring things out. I like the addition of the changeup. It'll get better. I think he will be better. I don't think he'll be elite, but I think he'll get better.
And that's what we're looking for, like a 3.5 ERA guy. It's not elite, but it's good enough to hold us over. But guys, always happy to hear your thoughts below about Gerrit Cole's rehab process and his progress there. Obviously, Luis Gil, what you saw yesterday, if you have any thoughts there, Nestor Cortez. This rotation is good enough to win. Once we get Gerrit Cole back, we'll be good enough to win a championship, in my opinion, especially if we use the trade deadline a little bit more creatively and, you know, maybe add another starting pitcher to help us there or more bullpen support. So we'll see how that goes. But guys, always happy to hear your thoughts below in the YouTube comment section. Make sure to like and subscribe as always. We'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode. Perfect.